Your turn. Thanks so much for joining us and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn, the gray and soggy Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Rains have tapered off in a lot of places, at least not quite as steady and as hard as they were coming down early. Boy, it rained a lot first half of the day today, didn't it? Yeah. And probably not the end either. However, the end may be in sight. Tomorrow, still some showers and thunderstorms, but diminished chance. And then the weekend is still looking good, but I hope they don't change that forecast. We got a lot of stuff going on coming this weekend. We're going to talk about some of that here in just a moment or so. I do want to tell you that later on the program today, the president of Butler County Community College will be stopping in. Dr. Nick Neupower will visit with us on the program. And tomorrow, there's a group coming to Butler. In fact, they're already here. They're centering and gathering up at Cooper's Lake Campground. It's the Tin Can Tourists Group. Have you ever heard of them? I hadn't either until I found out they were coming to Butler. We'll talk with Gary Shepherd. He's a member of the group. They are people who pull vintage travel trailers, you know, like old silver Airstreams. And that kind of, sounds kind of fun. And they're going to be gathering, got a rally, people from several states. Going to be gathering at Cooper's Lake Campground. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow with Gary Shepherd. Our first guest today is a familiar face. It's Dave Felsing, a longtime member of the Saxonburg Volunteer Fire Department, here to give us information on the Saxonburg Fireman's Carnival. Dave, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. Saxonburg Fireman's Carnival is next week, right?
Next week, 17th through the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. So that's Monday's the first day, right?
Monday's the first day, Saturday's the last.
Mm-hmm. The Saxonburg Fireman's Carnival is a tradition. It has a rich tradition here in our area. Probably one of the older events, huh?
Yeah, other than the farm show and the fair, we've been at it 86. This is our 86th year at Carnival.
Wow. 17. Oh, I can't subtract back that far. It goes way, way back.
1931, I believe, was the first year they had the carnival when it was formed.
Wow. Well, we know a little bit about the history of Saxonburg because you're having the big anniversary celebration down there on Saturday, right?
Exactly.
185 years?
185 years and 175th anniversary of John Roebling's wire rope patent.
So if the Saxonburg Volunteer Fire Department was formed in 1931, that would have probably been back in the, well, I don't know. Do you think they still had horse-drawn fire apparatus back in those days?
The hose cart was hand-pulled.
Hand-pulled?
Hand-pulled, first piece of equipment.
Wow. The only time I've ever seen that is in the movies, you know, like the old silent films, whenever they would pull a fire, I guess you'd call it a fire engine, down the street, and it was hand-pumped too, right?
No, this one was just a hose cart that they had, hose cart.
Oh. Are there pictures of that?
Yeah, and in fact, that's going to be in the parade on Saturday that the borough is having on their anniversary.
You mean they still have the hand-pulled cart?
We still have the hand, it's in the museum down at the Saxonburg Museum.
Wow, down at Roebling Park.
Down at Roebling Park.
Huh. That's worth seeing. I was in the museum not too long ago, but I didn't notice the there's a lot to see.
Towards the back. Yeah.
Did the firefighters have, because they had those old-time uniforms back then, too.
Yes.
Almost looked like they were getting dressed up to go to church whenever they were going to fight a fire.
Yes. They have that kind of stuff all in the museum.
Mm-hmm. I guess, though, that would have been like dress uniforms or something.
Yes, dress uniforms.
They didn't wear those when they were going to a fire.
Right.
Firefighters did a lot of parading. They had bands back in those days. Firefighters don't have dress uniforms today. There's no need for them, is there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yeah. If you go to a parade and you're marching, or if you ride in the truck, a lot of the fire companies, we at Saxburg have dress uniforms.
I did not
we
know
also,
that.
We also use them for funerals and other events that's going on in town,
mm-hmm.
or if we go out of town.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. A lot of times, first responders, police, firefighters, will appear en masse at a funeral for a colleague.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Fireman's Carnival, the Saxburg Fireman's Carnival, next week in Saxburg. There's always a parade. It's yep. always been on Thursday, as long as I remember. Has that changed, Dave?
That has not changed. The parade will be Thursday. It will be starting at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Streets will be shut down, I believe, about 5 o'clock getting into town. So if you're going to get in town, get in early.
That's right. And there will be a lot of people coming into town for that, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that the biggest night, or probably maybe Saturday, huh?
Thursday's pretty big. Thursday and Saturday are the two biggest nights.
Mm-hmm. But you do have special activities that help to draw people in during the week, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Such as, about opening day next Monday?
Next Monday we have the pet parade, which starts at, I believe, 7 o'clock. And then it's a free gate, so anybody that wants to go to the carnival can get in and take a look around and see what there is there to ride.
Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, there would be a fee to get into the carnival grounds?
Yes. It's a $2 fee to get into the grounds, and that goes directly to the fire company. Nope,
mm-hmm.
that's fire company money. That's one of the ways we do a fundraiser.
It's not the ride company.
It's not the ride company. It's the fire company itself.
What about for the rides? Do you pay for those individually? Or?
You can pay for them individually, or you can buy a one ride pass, which will be, I believe, $15. But we are going to have pre-ride tickets, and they're going to be available Saturday, Sunday, and the close of Carnival Monday. So you save a couple of bucks if you buy the ride, if you buy the pre-ride tickets.
Mm-hmm. Are they available in town?
Yes, yeah, so they'll be available at the fire company office.
Oh, okay. Okay. Which is at the far end of Main Street there,
yeah,
right?
On Horn Avenue, beside the carnival grounds.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Where the ambulance station is.
Okay. Carnival grounds have been there forever. Not to be the traditional place where the midway will be set up, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
What time does the carnival open up every day?
Carnival will open up. It opens at 6 o'clock. There is only one matinee this year, and that is going to be Wednesday, and that will be 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm. That's known as a kiddie matinee?
Correct,
yes. Is that like special opportunities for young people or something?
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Saxburg Carnival next week. Lots of great rides, lots of great food, lots of fun. I can remember when I first came to Butler many, many years ago, a bunch of friends that I had made, new friends, pulled me in and said, "We're going to the Saxburg Carnival Parade." I said, "Well, okay." I wasn't sure just what was going to happen. I had no idea what an event that was. We left early. We left mid-afternoon to get there. Well, you want to get a good spot, you know?
Yeah, and usually for a parade, there will be people that will set their chairs up Tuesday night or Wednesday. They'll be set up on Main Street so that they have their spot reserved.
Is the carnival the same time every year, Dave Felsing?
Yes, it's been, we've moved it back to, it used to be in June, and the last couple, 3 years, we've moved it back to July, what it used to originally be.
Mm-hmm. Had a lot of trouble with the wet weather in June, right?
Correct. Yeah. And we moved it back a couple of years ago, and we seem to be doing okay with the weather.
Just wasn't right. The Saxburg Fireman's Carnival should be toward the tail end of July, right?
Exactly. It's always in the old days, it was the fair, Saxburg Fireman's Carnival, and the farm show.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew when the farm show came, summer was over. Basically, the kids were getting ready to go back to school.
Well, you don't even mention that thought.
I understand, but I'm just saying that's always the way it was.
It's only the middle of July. In fact, not quite the middle of July. So you got the pet parade on Monday night. And folks, if you haven't seen that, that's quite the thing. Yeah, you get a lot of participation in that
yep.
every year, don't you?
Yes, we do. And you'll see everything. You'll see snakes, turtles, chickens, horses, llamas, camels, dogs, cats, hamsters, rabbits.
A lot of kids, I suppose, huh?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Do they have prizes for that, or is it just
kind
of...
Yeah, there's prizes for that.
Okay. In addition to a lot of laughs sometimes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I've seen the pictures. You know, the kids dress their pets up and everything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
You'd wonder how the dogs and cat would allow them to be dressed like that.
So that's on Monday. That's this coming Monday, folks.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Opening day, opening night for the Fireman's Carnival. And the Carnival Midway opens every night at 6 p.m.
Correct.
Do you go late at night?
What's that?
Do you go late at night?
The Midway shuts down when the crowd basically is gone.
Okay, probably around 11 or something like that.
10, 11, just depends how the crowds are.
I see. So the pet parade's on Monday. What happens on Tuesday?
Tuesday we have a water battle on Main Street, and that will start at, I believe, 6 o'clock. The water battle starts on Main Street up at the far end, up by the White Church.
And how does that, what shakes down in that thing? What happens there?
They have two teams of three or four firefighters on each hose, and they have a barrel hanging on a cable, and they battle to see who can score the most points on moving the barrel.
Kind of like a tug of war, except it's done up in the air.
Yeah, and it's done with fire hoses and barrel.
And are these like different fire companies that compete?
Yeah, there's usually 10 or 12 fire companies that show up for that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pride in who's best able to do that.
Exactly.
Of course, you're going to get wet if you're participating in that event, aren't you?
Yeah, and if you're sitting on the side, a lot of the kids sit where they get wet, too.
And do that on purpose.
They do that on purpose.
So that's Tuesday night. Wednesday, that's the one and only day for the afternoon matinee.
Correct.
So there'll be carnival rides at probably 1 o'clock or something like that.
The gates open at 1 to 5, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, it's a parade.
Thursday's the Fireman's Parade, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have they had a parade as long as you can remember? Has that been part of the tradition, Dave?
That's, as long as I can remember, yes. I was the chairman when I first moved out here in 78.
Hmm.
78 to 83, 5 years I had it.
That is the longest and most spectacular parade that's held around here. And, I mean, there's no contest. A lot of communities have great parades. We usually have a couple in downtown Butler during the year, and that's fine. But there's nothing that matches the Saxonburg Fireman's Parade for duration, colorful characters, and displays, and so on and so forth. It usually goes on for hours.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And that's free, by the way, right?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's Thursday. What about Friday? Anything special happening on Friday?
Due to the lack of contestants that we have, the Little Miss, the Junior Miss, and the Miss Saxonburg contest is all going to be on Friday. Tuesday and Wednesday, the Little Miss and the Junior Miss are not going to be Tuesday and Wednesday. They're all going to be on Friday due to the amount of contestants we have.
Where does that happen?
That will happen in the fire company's ballroom on the carnival grounds.
Okay. And the kids, what are they, ask questions or something?
They perform, they do a routine, and...
And the winner gets a crown and a banner.
Crown and a sash, and I believe they get a certificate or... I'm not exactly sure what all prizes the girls get. They get a prize for selling the most raffle tickets and so on and so forth. I don't know exactly.
Maybe you should start a Mr. Saxonburg or a Little Mr. Saxonburg pageant.
Might be something to talk about.
See? I'm an idea man for you here.
There you go.
You know.
Yes.
Equal time.
Yeah.
Right? And what about the final day, Saturday? Anything
Saturday, it's the gates open at 6, and at a... Well, probably around 11, between 11 and midnight, we'll be giving the grand prize away. This year, it's a 2017 Jeep Wrangler Sport that was customized by To the Limits Motorsport. With all the customization we did, it's about a $42,000 Jeep.
There's a picture of it on your website here.
Yes, there is.
Pretty fancy-looking vehicle. Wow. Value about $42,000,
you said? Yes.
Well, that'd be nice to walk away with.
Oh yeah, and all the sales tax is paid on the Jeep.
Mm-hmm. So you can drive it away. Huh?
You can drive it away.
How long will... Can you still get tickets for that up to Saturday?
You can get tickets up until Saturday, yes. Mm-hmm. They'll be on sale at the carnival grounds, and some of the businesses in the Saxonburg also have tickets.
Well, your timing could not be better this year. You're piggybacking right behind the Saxonburg anniversary celebrations that are all going to take place day after tomorrow on Saturday.
Right, right. Carnival's already starting to move in, too.
I was just going to ask you what time they arrive. Takes a while, doesn't it, set up those rides and stuff?
There's some stuff moved in already.
Hmm. Well, those companies that bring the rides in, they're busy at other places. They're probably pretty well booked throughout the summer, I imagine.
Yes, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Have to book those a year in advance, probably further than that.
Usually a year. When you get a ride company, you try to book them for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So they know where they're going, and you know who's coming, huh?
Exactly.
Hmm. Fireman's Carnival Week. It's next week in Saxonburg. It's a traditional event here in our area that goes all the way back to, believe it or not, 1931. I wonder if there's anybody still around who was at the first one. It's a possibility, I suppose.
That's a possibility.
You know, they would be, 80-something? Oh, but there's a lot of people around who were
86,
born before that, before the first one.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people around.
If they were there, they were probably little kids, but they can say they were there, huh?
Yes.
This is a big fundraiser for Saxonburg Fall. It's probably your biggest one, right, throughout the year?
Yeah, one of the biggest ones.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a sports fest in September, which is another big one. Saxonburg borough of Saxonburg does not have a fire tax, so there's no tax money. All the equipment that we buy, we pay for ourselves.
Communities deal with that in different ways. There are some communities in Butler County that have a specific fire tax, right?
Correct. Yeah. Sometimes it's 1 or 2%, and that money is allocated directly for fire companies. Where in Saxonburg, we don't have any fire tax per se. So everything that we own, we buy ourselves.
I think Butler Township would be a municipality, for example, that has
Butler Township does.
Dedicated to fire protection. And, they got a lot of people. Butler Township's one of the most populated municipalities in the area. But that doesn't make it any easier for a community like Saxonburg when they have to go out and buy a new piece of fire apparatus. Huh?
Exactly. You're looking at anywhere from $800,000 to $1.5 million for a piece of fire equipment, depending on what you get on it and where you get it.
Wow. How many, and you might not have this at the tip of your tongue, but you'd be at least vaguely familiar with the apparatus that you've got down at Saxonburg. What kind of equipment do you have there?
We have a brush truck, a squad truck. We have two engines, ladder, tanker, rescue. And ambulance division has three ambulances.
Now, an engine, is that what you might call a pumper truck
as
well?
We have two pumpers, tanker, ladder, rescue, brush, and two squads.
Obviously, a tanker can carry water itself.
Yes.
Pumper engines can be hooked up to a hydrant.
Yes.
Are there hydrants in Saxonburg?
Yes, there is. And since PA American Water took over, we've got hydrants now out in the Jefferson Township, because PA American Water took over and they ran the water line from Butler into Saxonburg, so they got hydrants out.
That's right,
out Butler Road.
Saxonburg
now
used to have its own water authority, sold it to Pennsylvania American.
Yes.
And that's good. You have better fire protection, probably pretty good pressure out of those hydrants.
Yeah,
I believe so. Mm-hmm. You've got a ladder truck.
Ladder truck.
Which is necessary for multi-story buildings.
Multi-story buildings. Sometimes you have to do a rescue on a silo, and you just can't get up there with a regular ladder because you're looking at 85, 90-foot silos. And then, of course, we get assists to the city of Butler on some fires. And
A volunteer fire department has a ladder truck. That's probably the most expensive piece of equipment.
Yeah, right now, if you were to replace the ladder truck we have, I think you're looking at about close, depending on what all you get on it, you're looking at close to $2 million.
Wow. And, I mean, You just shake your head. How can a volunteer fire department afford that kind of an expense? Well,
fundraisers.
Yeah, you got to have fundraisers. It's a sad commentary. I've long thought that state lawmakers needed to do something about that. I mean, it's great to rely on people's generosity, but boy, oh boy, when you think of the lives that volunteer firefighters save, the property damage that they save, the rescues, it's kind of sad that they have to spend part of their time, you know, holding fried chicken events and stuff like that, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's also been a problem that's cropped up in recent years. I don't think it's a problem too much in Saxonburg. Do you still have a good roster of volunteers down there?
Yes, we do. We have, right now, we have about 55 or 60 members on the roster, and we can, at a fire, we can pull anywhere between 15 and 20 of those.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty good when you compare that to communities of comparable size. I don't have to tell you that there are many fire companies in the area that have merged. You know, smaller communities have merged together. Sometimes even fairly good-sized ones have merged with a neighbor.
Yes.
Because of A, expenses, and B, lack of volunteers, lack of people.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. We in Saxonburg are lucky. We've got a lot of, and we've got a lot of younger gentlemen because I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you reach a certain age, it's you're not as nimble. You
know? I don't do much firefighting anymore, and I've been in with Saxonburg for 40 years. So, and before that, I was 4 years with another fire company. So, I've been doing the fire service for 44 years.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You got to be one of the more senior statesmen in terms of fire service.
No, not in Saxonburg. We've got a gentleman that's been there 50 plus years.
Really? Wow. Wow. That's terrific. Yeah. I've always thought that the state could come up with some kind of a plan, not necessarily to pay firefighters. I don't think we'd have the money for that, but some kind of a program where they could get some kind of, say, like tuition assistance for their kids to go to school. You know what I mean?
The state has stepped up and has done some things like that. They're trying for retention and recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we lose our volunteer firefighters, we're done.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. The volunteers are, I don't know the exact figure, but I remember at one time there was like 100,000+ volunteers in the state, and it's down to like 50,000 or 60,000 in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you've lost almost half of your members because families today, both parents got to work. And you got to do your work. You got to do stuff around the house, and to be a firefighter, you've got to have training. You've got to have so many hours of this and so many hours of that.
There's usually a training night or a crew night once a week, right?
Yeah, and then you go to the fire school to become a firefighter one or firefighter two. So now you're tying up another 100 hours,
mm-hmm.
and there's just not enough hours in the day for a family that is. Two people working.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard that, speaking of during the day, that's when there's a particular problem nowadays in a lot of fire companies, as opposed to an evening call out, there's a fire in the middle of the day. They just don't have enough people that can turn out.
Exactly.
Most of them are working.
Right. And in the old days when you had industry, you had gentlemen that worked the shift that worked 3 to 11 or 11 to 7,
mm-hmm.
and they could be around during the day. But now there a lot of those jobs aren't like the steel industry in that. You still have some, but not like you did in the old days. You used to have three shifts, so you could be covered during the daylight. But as we at Saxonburg, we still can probably pull 5 or 6 guys during the day, maybe more if it's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So we can at least get 1 or 2 engines on the road.
And in the evening, it's usually not as much of a
not
problem.
Not as much of a problem.
Yeah. You mentioned ambulance. So
yes.
Saxonburg has, is that a volunteer ambulance service?
Saxonburg has paid EMTs and paramedics, and there are also people that volunteer with the ambulance service.
So it's kind of a hybrid system.
It's
there,
a kind of a hybrid system, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they based at the same place as the fire corps?
They've got their ambulance station where the office is. That's be Like, there's the fire station, carnival grounds, and then the ambulance is on the other side of the carnival grounds. So it's all sort of together. We're all one organization. So it's still Sexenburg Volunteer Fire Company Ambulance.
We're talking with Dave Felsing. Dave is a veteran of fire service, volunteer fire service. 45 years, did you say?
44.
44 years altogether. 40 of them with the Sexenburg Volunteer Fire Department. And, gosh, you've been helping to promote the carnival, doing public relations work for the carnival as long as I can remember, Dave. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
you don't remember either?
I don't remember either. Probably about maybe 15, 20 years. I'm not even sure. I couldn't honestly tell you. I'm guessing now.
Well, we don't want to wish bad luck on anybody that had to battle the weather this week, because we've had rain and thunderstorms every day. In fact, it seems like we've had them every day in July, and it's pretty close to that.
Pretty close.
But the law of averages tells us we might be in pretty good shape next week.
We can hope. We can only hope.
Yeah, that's the long-range forecast, and I'm sure that makes a difference over the years.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a good if it's not too humid and not too hot and it's not too cold, it's good. I mean, getting too hot and humid can be just as bad as rain, because people don't want to come out when it's hot and humid.
Yeah, but that's when you want to have a lemonade and walk around, you know?
But, I mean, a lot of people, the older people, don't want to come out at that time. So
let's talk a little bit about that here as our time begins to run short. For people who don't, you know, they're not particularly keen on, let's put it this way, if they never ride a Ferris wheel again for the rest of their life, they're pretty happy.
Okay, you know, right. It's still the $2.
They can come in and walk around and enjoy the Midway.
They can come in, walk around, and meet their friends that they do, like they do. A lot of them come back every year, and they have Old Home Week.
For $2. I think that's a good system you have there, because a lot of folks, and there are some carnivals and fairs and so on that do this, you've got to pay to get in, whether you... Ride the Ferris wheel or not,
right,
you know.
Right. Yeah. This way you've got the option. You pay your $2, you come in and do what you want. If you've got somebody that wants to ride, then you can buy single ride tickets for a ride. Or if you want to have a wristband to ride all day or whatever, you can do that too.
Is there parking available handy to the carnival grounds?
Yes, there is. Right across from the ambulance station, there's a big parking lot. And it's free to park. Just come in and we'll park you.
That's another way some people get you, you know.
Yeah, no free parking.
Yeah.
And I believe Thursday, I'm not sure, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I believe there will be shuttle buses also running from down at Nauk High School. So Thursday, and I'm not sure about Friday or Saturday.
Thursday for sure, because that's parade night.
Yeah, and they can check online at the svfc.com and get more information there.
Well, if you're planning to come to the parade, most people know, make plans early, go early. And, I've done that, by the way. Park down at Nauk and just hop the bus and take it uptown. That's actually it's the way to do it, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, once again, just to recap, Dave Felsing visiting with us here from the Sexenburg Volunteer Fire Department. Next week, Carnival Week.
Carnival Week, it's here.
Give us a quick rundown again of what's happening. We open up on Monday.
Monday we open up Free Gate. Pet Parade, 7 o'clock. Tuesday is the Water Battle on Main Street. Wednesday is Kitty's Matinee, 1 to 5. Thursday is the Big Fireman's Parade. Friday is the Little Miss, Junior Miss, and Miss Contest at the Fire Company Ballroom. And Saturday night between 11 and 12 is the grand prize giveaway of the 2017 Jeep Wrangler Sport.
And you can buy a ticket for that right up until they have the drawing.
Right up until we have the drawing, exactly.
Which will be as the carnival closes on Saturday night.
Saturday night, right.
Well, Dave, thanks for stopping in, and a tip of the cap to all of the folks down there at Sexenburg. I know they're one of the more active volunteer fire departments around here, one of the largest and one of the most active and one of the best. And we wish you the best for the carnival next week.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. More to come on It's Your Turn today. We're scheduled to chat with Dr. Nick Neupower. He's the president of Butler County Community College, visiting with us here today. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll be chatting with Gary Shepherd, who is a member of the Tin Can Tourists Group. I didn't even know about this group until we found out they were coming to Butler County this weekend. In fact, they're already here for a four-day rally at Cooper's Campground up south of Slippery Rock. And they're going to be there all weekend, along with the band jam, of course. That's this weekend. And this is a group that celebrates the acquisition and restoration and then going camping with vintage travel trailers. You know, like the old Airstreams and some of the other ones. There's actually quite a few companies. We'll talk about that with Gary Shepherd on tomorrow's program. We're also scheduled to chat tomorrow with a young woman from England. In fact, we'll be chatting with her live via telephone. Her name is Sarah Perry. And we're going to be talking about English folklore and dragons and serpents and stuff like that. She's got a new novel out called The Essex Serpent. She'll be with us on tomorrow's program. Looking forward to chatting with her. We'll be back with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Hello, I'm Jody Weaver, and I serve our members as board president for Central Electric Cooperative. Central Electric is a cooperative owned and governed by members. If you are a member, your voice counts. This year, vote for your Clarion and Venango County directors by mail or online. Or better yet, vote at our annual meeting August 25th at Whitehall Campgrounds near Hamilton. After you vote, join members, directors, and staff with a great chicken dinner, music by American Pie, great door prizes, exhibits, and more. If you have children or grandchildren, bring them for the fun as well. Reserve your spot today by calling Central Electric or visiting the website at www.central.coop. This is Jody Weaver for Central Electric Cooperative, powering everyday life for 80 years. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back, listeners. Great to have you with us on the program today. We welcome guests from Butler County Community College on the next segment, including the president of the school. That's Dr. Nick Neupower. Dr. Neupower, good to see you again. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Dave. Always great to be here.
And we also have with us the interim coordinator of communications at the school, and that's Bill Foley. Bill, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's the first time you've been here, right?
It is, and I hope to be here many more times in the future.
Well, that's good. We look forward to working with you. Is Bill new on the job as the interim coordinator?
Yes, Bill is new on the job, and I know that you know this and our listeners, but we have a heavy emphasis on communication at the college.
Mm-hmm.
Each college or university president has his or her own flavor and kind of signature on how he or she would do things. And, of course, mine has really emphasized communication, and communication that I would put under the category of strategic communication, understanding who your publics are and communicating appropriately. And, of course, for many years, Susan Shannon and I spent time here. And after Susan left, we had Jess Matnock in an interim position. And Jess was hired after a search in the permanent position. And now Bill has come on board in this interim position and really does a fantastic job, which ties with his background. Bill can share that with you in terms of putting out fantastic press releases and promoting the college more along the lines of journalistic slant and the written word. And what's key about the strategy of communication is that that fits into a larger strategy that we have at the college that very often will correlate with me meeting with donors or elected officials or out in the public. And we're delighted to have Bill on board.
Well, approaching with a journalistic slant, Bill, you're with kindred spirits here in the studio right now. You realize that, of course. Huh?
So you're making me feel welcome is what you're saying. That's great.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I spent about 30 years out near Harrisburg working for a newspaper. I started at that newspaper after having attended Slippery Rock University, where I majored in communication. I was the editor of The Rocket, which is the student newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I moved on out to a newspaper called The Daily Item in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. And I spent my first 5 years in sports. And one of my duties there was to cover Penn State football as a beat writer. And what I really wanted to do was to move into the newsroom, though, because I thought that's where all the action was. And then I spent the next 25 years in the newsroom. I ended up being the news editor. I ran the newsroom for the final leg of my career.
Is this still in Sunbury?
This is still in Sunbury, yes. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, folks, this is... not West Sunbury. This is
correct. Right.
This is Sunbury.
This is the Sunbury that's along the Susquehanna River about 250 miles from here.
There's nothing against West Sunbury. I've got a lot of friends who live there, but Sunbury on the Susquehanna is a pretty big place.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. I learned a lot of interesting things. There are a lot of things that benefit me to this day and a lot of things that are helping me with my new position at BC3, spending 25 years in a newsroom and learning how bureaucracy works, learning how municipalities work, learning how what are the most important elements of whatever it is you're trying to do. And I retired last year in 2016 in June, and I was able to put together an opportunity with BC3, and I started in January, and everything has been just absolutely wonderful. I'm working with a group of people who are so dedicated and so talented and so devoted to the mission. I mean, it's an amazing group of people, and I love doing what I'm doing, and there's just so many opportunities because there are so many things that are going on at BC3 with people, places, and things that are wonderful. And so it's a great opportunity.
You mentioned that you did your undergraduate work at Slippery Rock University.
That's correct, yes.
Are you originally from this immediate area?
Native of Elwood City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go Lincoln High School.
Just because you went to Slippery Rock, a lot of people matriculate there from other countries,
correct,
for that matter.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm from Elwood City, and I went to Lincoln High School. And from there, I went to Slippery Rock University. And I worked while I was at Slippery Rock University, I worked at the Beaver County Times and at the Elwood City Ledger, where I kind of started to cut my teeth in all things journalism and newspaper world.
Well, you also mentioned that you spent at least a couple of years as a beat reporter for the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Correct.
The football team. You also realize you're in kindred spirits along those lines.
That's right.
When you sit in this room as well.
Yeah, he's well aware of that. And our paths crossed, obviously, many, many years ago, and we worked at the Times together, and we were stringers for the Times. And then also we were stringers for the Elwood City Ledger together. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as you know and your listeners may know, I was print journalism at Penn State. And Dave and I talk a great deal about how the media has changed over the years. And since Bill's been on board, we spent a lot of time talking about that. And part of those conversations with Bill, just how lucky we are in this area to have a local newspaper and a local radio station like this. And when we go back to our hometowns of Elwood City, back in the day, Elwood City had its own FM radio station. It had a daily newspaper with a very complete staff. And now in 2017, it's not like that at all.
Well, I agree with you, Nick. We're blessed. And I hope that we can remain that way because obviously the communications business is changing drastically, a sea change, but that's happening in a lot of places. I mean, who would believe that we would see the end of Sears and Kmart?
That's true.
I mean, you know, and it's happening. It's not quite yet, but obviously that's what's going to happen. But I'm a person who, for example, I read some newspapers online, but I also like one in my hands.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, and maybe we're the last generation to do that. I'm not sure, but you know.
Therein lies the difficulty, because there are enough people who still rely on the print product, and they want to have the print product. They want to have the tangible, you know, newspaper in their hands. Newspapers have tried to migrate them to the digital product, as well as trying to migrate the people who like the digital product over to the print product, and it's just been kind of an ongoing battle ever since the inception, I guess, of the internet. But ultimately, mm-hmm. I think you will see more and more newspapers becoming online only. I think that's just inevitable. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen. But the good thing is that despite the what can be considered as some decline in print subscriptions, the readership is going through the roof at for websites of newspapers, mm-hmm. whether local newspapers or national newspapers. There's an insatiable desire for information that's unlike anything that's ever seen before. So I think that's good. People want to know what's going on in their communities. They may just have to find it in a different format than they're used to.
I agree. My analysis would be that's probably what we're looking at in the future. I worry a little bit about how much of it is going to be affordable. I don't want to talk too much inside baseball here for journalism, but, you know, many, you have to subscribe now to get it, and some of the subscriptions are pretty hefty. So I'm not quite sure where that's going. The other thing, and it kind of ties in with education, what we're talking about, I'm not sure that that's going to happen with books. Have you seen the statistics indicating that the e-book sales are going down?
Yeah.
And honest to gosh, paper book sales are going up.
Well, there's always the backlash. I mean, their albums are now back in vogue.
That's true, I know. Some
students, at least that where I once lived, were starting to be interested and fascinated with manual typewriters again. Mm. And so who knows? Mm. You know, there's always an interest in things that were in a retro aspect. And I agree with books. I mean, I couldn't imagine reading a book on a tablet. No,
it doesn't work for me. Now, if you're talking about a high school student who's getting ready to go to undergraduate school, and I don't know how this happens in college these days, whether textbooks are available online, but
yes.
My gosh, even when I was in school, that was one of the biggest expenses you had.
Yeah.
Was books. I can't imagine what it must be today.
Believe it or not, Dave, the online competition has brought the cost down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. And I know that not only from my role at the college, but also a parent of a couple of daughters who attended college, one recently graduating. Now you don't just go to the BC3 bookstore, to be frank, or the IUP bookstore, and that's basically the only game in town, is that you have an opportunity to use different online options. Actually, our daughters use the online options.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually now not you can still buy the new, you can still buy the used, but the model which has helped drive down the cost, including a BC3, is book rental. So you can rent the book for the semester, and then very affordable.
Mm.
And what happens is that you'll have the credit card, and if you don't return the book, it'll be the full charge to the credit card, or if it comes back damaged, they'll charge accordingly. But that is something that has changed even in my 10 years as president, is that the technology has led to a decline in the cost and a decrease in the cost of books for students.
That's good news. When I was in undergraduate school, the first term I bought new books. Used books after that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was incredible savings. Anyway.
So you talk about technology, and back when I was a faculty member at Marist College, so that would be 96 to 99, the internet was really coming into play. And technology has impacted across the board. You mentioned Sears as an example. One of the reasons that Sears struggled, it was too much along the lines of the traditional Sears and did not incorporate the online. Walmart has been late to the game, but it's going online. Whenever it comes to real estate, back in a different lifetime, I worked for a pension real estate association as a consultant. And the purpose of PREA was to educate the state pension funds that had 10 to 15% of its investment in real estate. And I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Don Tapscott in 1999. You go back to 1999, and he had predicted not only this very unique millennial generation, which at the time he called a net generation, and a different psychology, not necessarily for the worse, but a different way of doing things, and also predicted it would be the decline of real estate as it relates to an investment in malls or shopping centers.
Which we're seeing all over the country.
Unfortunately, yeah. We're seeing. Yeah. And think about higher education, how the technology has impacted higher education. We've talked about this previously. The first distance ed classes were broadcast from Penn State. There's a sign by the Nittany Lion Inn, PBS. And the first distance ed was on Channel 13, how you could take a class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that. I've read about it. I don't know if that was at your time.
I've seen, like, you know, video clips of that stuff. I never actually saw it in action.
Yes. Yeah. Then from that to correspondence courses, and Penn State was very well mm-hmm. known for correspondence courses. When I started at BC3, they were videotaped courses were distance ed. Now the number of students that we have who are taking online courses, and you would think, well, how would you be able to do a lab class in an online setting? Well, the technology basically allows you to conduct your lab online. You don't have to be in a bricks and mortar lab. It is amazing how technology has impacted so much of what's out there in the United States, including education.
Well, the ramifications for this are just simply enormous for administrators in higher education. I mean, short-term and long-term planning.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Although I will say this. So Western Pennsylvania, we're very good at being behind the times. And I say that as a Western Pennsylvania person. In some ways, that's an okay thing. The fact that the housing bubble didn't hit Pennsylvania or Western Pennsylvania like it did many other areas. The other point is, even in my time as president, we talked about, do we need bricks and mortar? Should we be investing more in online, virtual, what have you? We still sell our locations and our place, our main campus, our mothership, that is Butler County Community College. That sells. What we see is our students are mixing and matching courses. They're still taking a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, two or three courses. Mm-hmm. But instead of coming Tuesday and Thursday or taking that one evening Monday class, that's where they're putting in the internet. A sense of place is very important. And again, that's something that people are trying to figure out. Will that be lost as this goes on? I don't think that it has been lost. As a matter of fact, I think now more than ever, we need a sense of place, a sense of gathering, a sense of community. And that's part of what we've built into our master plan with the help of the state and donors at the main campus.
We are in, virtually halfway through July already. So summer sessions are well underway. I know there are truncated sessions throughout the summer, but you have to be full bore into registration season now for the fall semester, do you not?
Yes, we definitely are. You've mentioned that something that's been successful for us is that we have these various start dates throughout the fall and spring semester, but also in the summer. Early numbers for the fall indicate that we're up in enrollment. And as you know, we can perhaps touch on this later in the show, big study came out from Harrisburg yesterday. And talking about a number of variables that impact higher ed, specifically our state system, and enrollment of these institutions is a big part of that. Butler County Community College, we're up in enrollment. It's not the days of being up 18%, even 10%. But believe me, in the landscape of higher ed, and specifically in Pennsylvania, up 1% or 2% is reason to celebrate. Yeah. And our early numbers for the fall indicate just that.
We'll talk more about that and lots of other things, too, with regard to higher education in general and Butler County Community College specifically. We need to take a break right now, and we'll do that and be back to talk more with our guests in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is DBS Telecommunications. Do you know this company, DBS Telecommunications? They're here in Butler. They are a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer serving Butler and the Pittsburgh area. We know them because we've utilized their services here at the Butler Radio Network for many, many years. DBS Telecommunications, they sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. They primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems. Been around for a while. They've been serving the Butler area for some 32 years. They specialize in phone systems, obviously, in custom-designed networks, including fiber optics, the latest. They specialize in high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, five-year warranties. They specialize in high-definition surveillance camera systems. Everybody needs those these days. They specialize in multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They also provide cabling for voice, data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. As I say, we've used them for a long time here at Butler Radio Network. DBS Telecommunications, you can call them today for more info, 285-9088, or they're on the web at dbs-tel.com. We'll be right back.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Dr. Nick Neupower is with us. Dr. Neupower is the president, of course, of Butler County Community College. And we welcome visiting with us for the first time, Bill Foley. Bill is the interim coordinator of communications. You've had some other new folks. Dr. Belinda Richardson just started, what, a week or so ago?
Yes.
Another top administrator.
Yeah, another top administrator. It is a very interesting time at the college. As I understand our history, so 53 years, I think we're going on year 54, right around there. And one other time in our college history, about 98, 99, we had some of the original people, which if you do the math, 65 to 2000, the years add up. Mm-hmm. We had mass retirements in 98, 99 period. That's when I came to the college, 1999, as a dean. It's when we lost the likes of Sue Bennett, Alan Dodge, Bill Groff. There were just so many people who were there with the startup of
legendary original faculty
legendary
members. Yes,
absolutely. And here it is, as the numbers play out, we have lost a lot of great people. Names like Cat, Dodd, Miller, O'Brien, David Anderson, Natalie Price, and I'm probably, I shouldn't have done that because I know I'm missing about another 10 people.
He's doing this off the top of his head, folks. There's no list. There's no list here.
Thank you, Dave. And we're losing a lot of great people. And it hit me in a span of 4 days where we had a retirement celebration, actually ended up perhaps more emotional than what I had originally thought as I said goodbye to these individuals. And then 4 days later, we were interviewing candidates, national search for our vice president for academic affairs. And I mentioned this to Dr. Richardson 2 days ago, that it hit me at that time that this is how it is supposed to work. It really is. It is the sustainability, the longevity of this institution. It is bringing in new people, new ideas, fresh perspective, to harness all of the synergy that is associated with us, with such, and to keep the college going through years 75 and 100. And Dr. Richardson certainly brings that to the college.
She comes from Cleveland, right? Yeah. Most recently?
Yes, and I'm not holding that against her. she actually came to my office for our first meeting 2 days ago. And she came in twirling a terrible towel and was not twirling it appropriately. And Julie, my administrative assistant, So we're having a lot of fun with that. Yeah, Cuyahoga Community College. Alex Johnson, the previous president at CCAC, went to Cuyahoga. Cuyahoga is a monster community college. That's something our listeners might not realize. I know even some of our staff members don't realize this. There are community colleges that service 50, 60, 70,000 students. Listeners may be surprised that we actually service 20,000 students, about 5,400, 5,500 on the credit side, which many people might think is the only thing that we do at the college. But between 15 and 20,000 in a year in continuing ed, non-credit, and public safety. Cuyahoga is probably about 50,000 just on the credit side. So it's an institution that very good at workforce, might have about 100,000 students at multiple sites. Primarily, the mothership is in Cleveland and then the surrounding area. Dr. Johnson is known very well nationally. I worked with him for the PA Commission. And Belinda is a person who worked her way up the ranks. If I'm not mistaken, she started with the GED side of things and then just kept working her way from GED to the non-credit to the credit side, and was an assistant dean at Cuyahoga. But an assistant dean at Cuyahoga, don't be fooled by that title. Mm-hmm. It's a monster responsibility. I came from the Roush Graduate School. Now, nowadays, with a lot of different online offerings for doctorates and master's degrees, the average person might not think that the Roush Graduate School is all that prestigious. John Roush is perhaps the most well-known scholar whenever it comes to community colleges across the country. Hmm. And he left his post, I believe, at the University of Texas and created his own graduate school, doctorate school, the Roush Graduate School. Belinda is a graduate of that. And we are just absolutely delighted to have her. Only been in for about a week, week and a half, but she seems to be loving the college.
We're talking about Dr. Belinda Richardson. She's the new Vice President for Academic Affairs at Butler County Community College. I know that you're in the process of bringing new people on board, as you said. A lot of very well-known educators and administrators have recently retired. Are there others that we can mention at this point, or are they still in the process of coming on board?
Yeah, there are some others. We've had people from nursing like Mary Ann Heiser and Sherry Neely, legendary names associated with our nursing program. Dr. Sunday Fassahiton, our Dean of Assessment, was another very big loss. Sunday had been at the college since about 97, 98. I mentioned Natalie Price. In all, we had about 14 people. Alex Gladys, our director from Cranberry, he's a recent retiree. And Dave, it's, as I said, it's a mixed time, but you look at the opportunity. And again, you look at what's going on in the Commonwealth and nationally with higher education. And I would be lying if I didn't say that there was an opportunity as it relates to not just filling these positions as they become open, but to look at our new strategic plan and see if there are certain initiatives on the strategic plan that we can tailor one of these retired positions and use it toward pursuing an objective or an initiative in our strategic plan. Mm-hmm. We're doing that under the community segment of our strategic plan. This is board approved. I'll say it to the listeners. I've had multiple meetings. We'll continue to have multiple meetings. This next decade for my presidency, it is more about saying this humbly, the strength of the college and moving toward perhaps what one could say would be societal change, elevating the communities that we serve. And front and center of our strategic plan is a town and gown relationship and working with downtown Butler. And a lot of economic development models that are out there, and the one that we like to focus on is a town and gown, town being the city of Butler, gown, academic regalia for what it is that we do on the Hill there. We're having conversations, have calls out to the mayoral candidates. We've met with business people, the downtown group, people who occupy space in downtown Butler. Ultimately, big picture, we would hope to establish a leadership institute, ideally in downtown Butler. And with some of the adjustments that I've made with these retirees and taking a look at the positions as it correlates to the strategic plan, is that we now have a person who's a coordinator of our leadership initiatives would be an example. So it's all fitting together very well at the college. And while we're losing a lot of tremendous experience, it's great because we can bring the new positions and match them with the new priorities.
Folks, if you don't do that these days, this strategic planning and the development long range, you're going to be left in the dust. We've seen that in many segments of our society. We're also seeing some significant problems, and I realize, Dr. Neupower, this is not you're in the community college system, but the state university
yes.
system, the 14 schools in the state university system have experienced some of them, many of them, significant enrollment drops. Now, we'll point out from the very beginning that Slippery Rock University is not one of them.
Correct.
They've been one of the few that has shown increased enrollment. In fact, they had record enrollment last year at Slippery Rock. But others have seen their student populations decline, some of them significantly, to the point where the state earlier this year hired a consulting firm.
Correct.
And said, take a look at this. What are we going to do? Their long-awaited report came out yesterday.
Correct.
And I'm sure you've at least seen some of the highlights of it, even though it's only been out since yesterday afternoon.
Yes. So a number of points here. One is Butler County is blessed, one of only two counties in the Commonwealth to have a PASHE state system university, Slippery Rock, and a community college. I hope I've mentioned that several times on the show, but I hope the listeners realize that. And there are a lot of variables that go into.
There's 67 counties in Pennsylvania, folks.
You got it.
And we're one of only two.
One of two.
That has both schools.
And while there are a lot of variables that go into the makeup of a county, coincidental or not coincidental, low unemployment, low taxes, population growth, okay, and you have two institutions of higher education. Dave, we've been doing this show for 10 years, and probably 7 to 10 years ago, you'll recall the many controversies that were associated with BC3 extending beyond Butler County. You recall that. Those have gone away, and look at where we are now in 17, and look at where these other institutions are in trying to get enrollment.
Yeah.
And I was with Commissioner Geyer at a presentation in Harrisburg showing where the PASHE institutions are. There was a slide that showed where the community college branch campus, off-campus locations were. And, of course, we are in Mercer County, Lawrence County, Armstrong County, Brockway, and we have Cranberry, Jefferson County. And let's take Brockway as an example. In that four-county area, Clearfield, Jefferson, Clarion, and Elk County, we have for a year about an enrollment of about 430 or so. One of the rumors that I'm hearing, and it did not come out in the report, was that PASHE could be closing some of its branch campuses. Slippery Rock doesn't necessarily have a branch campus model. Clarion, Venango, Lock Haven at Clearfield, IUP at Punxsutawney, and IUP at North Point. BC3 has campuses in Brockway, Sharon Hermitage, as well as Ford City. Okay. So all of that controversy from 7 to 10 years ago, as this whole thing has played out, we have positioned ourselves so well. We're always looking for more enrollment, but we're not in this crisis mode of grabbing, of trying to grab students. Neither is Slippery Rock, fortunately, because we made very good decisions a number of years ago that frankly enables us with this strategic plan to focus on a town and gown relationship, where most other colleges or universities would be focusing on getting as much enrollment in as possible. Mm-hmm. We're always interested in getting more enrollment. on the credit and the non-credit side. But I think it really speaks to the very good strategic decisions that our board and our college community has made. As to the report, I did get some information from our contacts in Harrisburg. One of the recommendations calls for the PASHI institutions to consider having community colleges on their campuses. I'm not so sure that that's necessary as it relates to BC3 and Slippery Rock. While we have our senior partners on our campus offering those baccalaureate degrees, when a student comes to BC3 with Slippery Rock in mind, it's traveling 18 miles north. I mean, there's not the need to cohabitate, if you will. Another very interesting point to that study was perhaps a new governance model for PASHI. Right now, there is a board of governors, and a board of governors that is made up of some elected officials and members from their respective boards. And at first glance, and my contacts from Harrisburg, the suggestion is to move to a board of regents, which, you know, that's a term that's used in other states, and it would include lay people serving on the board and the Department of Education Secretary Pedro Rivera serving as ex officio. There were a lot of very interesting recommendations. It did not seem, from what I've read and heard from our contacts in Harrisburg, that mergers or closures were part of this.
That was feared, by the way, that was going to be part of, because, folks, when we talk about enrollment declines at some of these schools, it's not a handful. There are several of the state schools that have lost 20% of their student population.
That's exactly
right. I mean, these are drastic enrollment.
And I was mentioning to Scott earlier, the beauty of community colleges is that we don't have all of our eggs in the 18 to 22-year-olds. We have adult students. We teach high school students in our college within the high school. We have all the non-credit continuing education and workforce development. Now, I'm a Clarion grad, as you know. Met my wife there in 07. And I can say this because this has been in the news. In 07, when I took over as president, if someone would have told me 10 years later, BC3 would be stronger, better financial shape, stronger overall than a Clarion, Edinburgh, Mansfield, or Cal, I never would have taken that bet, ever. That's not implying that these are good institutions, but it's in the news. Closures and mergers. The chancellor and others have been forced to name institutions. Clarion, Mansfield, and Cheney, obviously, as you know. Lock Haven to a certain extent. So great kudos, and I have this as a note here, great kudos to the administration of Slippery Rock University. I have really enjoyed my relationship with Dr. Norton. Our dealings with Slippery Rock University have always been that we are true partners. I think maybe we're a bit too sensitive about senior institutions putting their nose in the air or snubbing us as community colleges. That has never been the case at SRU, ever. And Dr. Norton has continued that. And Dr. Norton has always been supportive whenever we bring in senior partners to our institution, but knowing that the bulk of our students still transfer to the Rock. She's been a wonderful leader for Slippery Rock. You'll look at Slippery Rock's finances, the fact that it's dabbled into international education, new programs, enrollment growth. What a tremendous job. I'll have the opportunity to meet her Monday, say goodbye. But I certainly wish her all the luck in the world as she retires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll be retiring at the end of this month, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, there were some fears that this study would recommend that, most drastically, some of the state schools close or perhaps merge. I thought there might be a recommendation for combination of program goals. In other words, if you wanted to major in French, I mean, total hypothetical example here. If you wanted to major in French, you could go to Edinburgh, but then Clarion wouldn't offer French. They would offer a major in some other language, just for an example, instead of duplicating.
That's correct.
But I haven't read the whole report yet, but I didn't see any recommendation for that either.
That's correct, and that's something that comes up very often. We may have talked about this before, and I will be confident enough to say that I don't buy into this. So let's go back into the 70s when my father and mother, my dad, a steel worker, wanted my brother and I to go to college. Their terminology, they did not want us to work with our hands. They wanted us to work with our minds. And then they wanted us to have the liberal arts side of education. I taught at liberal arts schools. Now the model goes back to, well, forget the liberal arts side of things. Why should you have someone major in the histories, liberal arts, arts, what have you? We need to put students in degrees that lead to jobs. I don't disagree with that, by the way. I also think that the liberal arts side of things gets a raw deal, because I think what you learn on the liberal arts side of things very much can work its way into the technical side of things and the high priority job occupations. That's one of the reasons that community colleges are in such favor now. That could be one of the reasons why the state system, when money is tight, these things come to the surface, have really had a focus that you have all these liberal arts majors, you're getting this state allocation, but yet we have all these jobs in whatever area. Mm-hmm. And there was some talk that it could move in that direction. But from what I have heard, I have not seen that as a recommendation.
We'll take another break, and we have some more time to chat with our guests. Nice to have them with us here on the program today. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Gone Postal Butler. This is a service, a business that provides a very handy service. They package your items for shipping. And, you know, this can be a real bag when you got to ship something, you know. Where's the tape? Where's the string? Ethel, do we have any package? Do we have any boxes? You know, why not just take it to Gone Postal here in Butler? Because they'll package it up for you. And they can ship it however you want to ship it. FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, whatever. They package your items for shipping. They offer custom boxes, too. They're located, by the way, at 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande. Those two restaurants are side by side, right behind them there in Shockey Mini Storage. We'll give you a phone number in a moment. You can call for more information. In addition to packaging your items for shipping, they provide copying service, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, greeting cards, or an official notary there, even a lottery agent, too. Gone Postal Butler. Gone Postal Butler, your neighborhood-friendly shipping center. Phone for more information, 724-841-0044, 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler. One of our other sponsors is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Hey, folks, this is it this weekend. They're having the first collection, first of their Saturday collections of excess garden produce. So they'll be picking it up noon, 8 a.m. till noon every Saturday at St. Michael's Hall, right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue on the south side. They've done this for the past several years, and it's been really, really effective. You gardeners, you know what happens. You know, all of a sudden, all the tomatoes come on, or the peppers, or whatever. You've used all you want. You've given them to the neighbors, you know, to Aunt Betty and everybody else. Don't let that stuff go to waste. If you have excess, consider donating to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard. You can take it there. It couldn't be more convenient. Saturday morning, 8 a.m. until noon. They have volunteers there. They'll pick it up, and it'll be in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank on Monday morning, ready to go out to the needy. And what a treat to have fresh garden produce for them. So think about it. If you've got some excess, Saturday morning, starting this Saturday, 8 a.m. until noon at St. Michael Hall, behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue. Alrighty, we're chatting today. If you just joined us, a lot of folks listen to the radio in the car. And if you've just turned it on, who's on with Dave today? Dr. Nick Neupower is here. He's the president, of course, of Butler County Community College. And Bill Foley is also with us. We meet Bill for the first time today. He's the interim coordinator of communications now. Speaking of education that leads to jobs, we just had a news story, I think it was this morning, maybe it was yesterday, about a new program for an auto technician certificate that Butler County Community College was teaming up with a number of auto dealerships. Bill Foley, can you fill us in on this program?
Yeah, BC3, in conjunction with the four dealerships that are in Butler County, or who at least have Facilities in Butler County, along with the Greater Pittsburgh Automobile Dealers Association, are working in conjunction with one another to put together this program. It's called the Auto Technician Certificate. I believe it's a 600-hour course in which the students will get the opportunity to work at any one of those four dealerships while they are attending BC3, so they can help to defray the cost of their education, mm-hmm. and also get hands-on experience with some of the things that they might be encountering later on down the road.
So, and it's evening classes, too, right?
Yes, it is evening classes.
You're already employed. You can keep your job mm-hmm. while you're...
Yeah, I believe it's Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. I think it's Monday through Wednesday, and it's going to be held at the Butler Votech.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the students are going to get the skills. They're also going to get from the Greater Pittsburgh Automobile Dealers Association a 263-piece, $325 toolkit so that they can use that while they are in the class and while they are working at if they were to go ahead and take up an offer from one of the four dealerships. Bagley or Buick GMC, again, Butler County Ford, number one Cochran Subaru and Deal Automotive. If they choose to work there, if they have the opportunity to work there, they can use that toolkit there too. And it's a great toolkit. And I think this is just great where you see businesses in the community and Butler County Community College working together to fill a void, because there is – I spoke with a number of the representatives from the dealerships, and they said, you know, there is going to be a wave of retirements. These are jobs that are going to need to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And BC3 responded by creating a program in conjunction with these dealerships.
And this kicks off right after Labor Day, I think,
September,
right?
Yeah, September yeah. through, I think it's June.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they're trying to fill a need. And I think that the people who are putting on the program with the dealership said that the students are going to learn how to be able to rotate tires, change oil filters, that sort of thing. They're going to get their foot in the door and kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So a number of comments here. There was so much that Bill said very well that speaks to what we do. So, Dave, go back to the liberal arts versus these occupational terminal degrees. This is a high-need area that is on Workforce Investment Board data, but you don't need a college degree to get it. That's what we offer. Actually, this was a taping for a commercial that I did earlier today. We talk about these non-credit workplace certificates. What the employer is looking for would be the skills. Here, we can present the skills and then give the students the opportunity to ladder those skills that they've received into an academic program. But they don't have to take the 2 or 4 year program to go into a field with a very good opening wage. That's point number one. Point number two, advisory boards. This started with input from an advisory board. Denny Baglier called me a number of years ago. Like a good president, I handed off to Lisa Campbell. Denny Baglier, he had a statewide or a regional, national, high-level position within a board or an association. Denny calls all the appropriate players to the table. Think of this. You have Deal, Kathy Glasgow and her group, and Cochran. You have big hitters here,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I know, having met with Mike Kelly in his role in Washington, D.C., he's certainly in support of something like this. Collaboration. We don't have the facilities. We partner with the Votech. We're not going forward with a big capital investment. We're leveraging our relationship and our partnership with the Votech. And on the backside, probably through an opportunity through our foundation, the students who sign up for the program get the $325 toolkit.
And they come out with an auto technician certificate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I think it just speaks volumes for what we do.
Now, you got another one for welding. Is that in the works? Or?
That is right. Yeah, I was speaking just earlier this week with one of the graduates of the 2016 program. I called him. I said, how did the program go for you and how did it benefit you? And he is actually a shipbuilder in Newport News, Virginia. He is building aircraft carriers. Young gentleman, 20 years old. He's from West Mifflin. His name is Ty Bowman.
Wow.
And, yeah, I thought the same thing. And I think he lives in Hampton, Virginia, which if anybody's ever gone to Virginia Beach, you travel right past Hampton, Virginia on 64. I think
Navy yards all over the place.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So he was able to put his skills that he learned in the program, which, again, is also about a 9-month program, and it's a night course also at Butler Votech. He was able to put those skills to use. He said that he told me that BC3 helped him to go from somebody who knew nothing about welding, who wasn't even mechanically inclined, to becoming a certified welder building nuclear power warships for the United States Navy. So what more do you need to know?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's it's a terrific program, which also, again, will start in September.
And I don't have any training in education, but I see two things here. Number one, these are good jobs.
Yes.
These people are getting. And number two, there's, I don't know, I think you and I have talked about this before. There's a, I've seen people, I just saw this the other day on Fox News. I, by the way, watch all different kinds of news so that I try to, you know, I watch liberal news, yeah. I watch conservative news. But I happen to see this on Fox. And the panelists, whatever, they were denigrating college education, talking about how it was becoming too expensive and we really need it. And I mean, I'm truncating here, but blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, I see where they're going here, but there's a maturation process,
yes,
that you go through. And most societies realize this. In some countries, they treat it differently. Some countries have a mandatory 2-year period of service, mm-hmm, where you work in some kind of public service, or you're in the military or something like that. There was a high-profile case, some tennis player. No, it was some golfer, some PGA golfer, tremendous player, had to go back to his home country because he had this required public service that he had to do. Everybody has to do it before they're like 25 or something like that. There's a period there in your life where you need some time to grow a little bit, mm-hmm, mature a little bit. For me, it was an incredible period.
Yes.
Now, whether you're doing that, you know, in the college setting, or look at this. Here's a 9-month setting where you come out with a certificate, the excellent opportunity for a good job, but you've had that period,
yes,
where you can be with other people of a similar age and mature a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Spot on. So individuals think that you talk about the dimensions to our being. I like there to be, to reference, 5 dimensions. Most individuals would associate education, higher ed, dealing with the mental. But to your point, Dave, it's not just mental. It's social. It's emotional, it's physical, and the 5th that I like to add is that it is, you have the ability for it to be spiritual also. It is not just about the learning. Obviously, that would be the most important. Going away to Penn State, waking up with an alarm for the first time instead of my mother nudging me, doing laundry, meeting friends, meeting new people, meeting people from different cultures, having responsibility, that was all part of it. But as you know, when money gets tight, these things rise to the surface. When it comes to community colleges, certainly we need our share of funding, and our county has been very good to us. Now we have this budget impasse, which I expect will be breaking soon on the state side of things. I would argue that no one does it better than community colleges at this point in time. It's very affordable. It provides the transfer opportunities, the occupational opportunities, the credit, the non-credit, and it is that gathering spot that I referenced earlier. That's not just our main campus. Each of our locations have its own unique culture. Our Newcastle students, Sharon students will be heading there later today. Students in Brockway are absolutely unbelievable. We have a big decision to make in Armstrong County because this very small facility that we have, we're already outgrowing it. And, of course, our Cranberry location, credit all the way back to Dr. Price and Bill O'Brien, that's been around since 88, 89. I could not agree more with you. It's more than numbers that are on a spreadsheet, and it is more than just the book learning.
And to bring up a term, a phrase that you used earlier, I actually wrote it down, a sense of place.
Yeah.
Hey, you get a sweatshirt or a T-shirt or a hat with your school on it, and you wear it proudly, sense of place.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Hey, we need to take a quick break here, and we'll do that, and we'll be back to wrap up. Our time's flying by here, and we'll be back to wrap up with our guests here in just a minute or so. It's your turn on WISR. I'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 24-2-4. The pick three is 612-612. The pick four is 0673. The pick five is 95321. The wild ball for each of those is 5. The treasure hunt, 2, 6, 9, 12, and 18. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $80,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, our time begins to run short here with our guests. I wanted to mention the Kids on Campus Summer Enrichment Program. Now, a lot of folks might be thinking, what, Dave, it's the middle of July. Well, it is, but these programs for Kids on Campus, you can continue to register a week at a time, a couple of weeks at a time. They got a lot more stuff still going, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, on our way out of the campus, it was humming with activity. As a matter, I would say that probably our credit classes that we offer were the least amount of individuals that we had on campus. You would think that the primary buzzing on campus with activity would be students taking summer classes. And while there were certainly some of those, we had a training on campus for future POS. Kelly and John Giles, great friends of the college, they brought their staff to the campus. Kids on campus being dropped off throughout our campus, even on a wet day. We had an event in the theater. The Kids on Campus program has grown a great deal over the years. And yes, there's still time to sign up, and that would be a bc3.edu thing that listeners should check out.
The foundation has one of their big fundraisers coming up not too far down the road, their annual golf outing. Dr. Neupower?
Yes, August 4th, Old Stonewall. This was one of those, Dave, that... So, you know, for years we were at the country club, and we certainly love giving business to local organizations, in this case the Butler Country Club. So many of our golfers, I shouldn't say so many, a fair share of our golfers were already members of the club. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we spent a lot of time in committee talking about this, talking with very important people in the community, because we didn't want to upset anyone by bringing our golf outing to another location. And of course, this being in Elwood City, there's a connection with the president, and I know this area very well, but it's not that connection as to why we're there. It is a beautiful course. They give us a great deal. I'm not a good golfer. We were just talking off air about Treesdale and Stonewall. I think Stonewall is very fair. I do. You can't walk it. Certainly can't. But it is, even for the people who are Treesdale and Country Club golfers, by going to Stonewall, they don't play it normally. It's not all that far of a drive. It's a very unique course.
Most picturesque course in the entire course. Western Pennsylvania.
So, yes, we have that on August 4th. We run it through our BC3 Education Foundation. Certainly, listeners would love to get more golfers out there. We have some space from what Ruth Purcell tells me. There can be calls to our foundation office or checking that out on bc3.edu.
Excellent. Well, nice to have you both here today. Bill, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Look forward to talking in the future. Maybe we can do something with Ruth Purcell and the foundation, get a little more information on that sometime.
Yeah.
And Dr. Nick Neupower, good to see you again.
Thank you, Dave.
Coming up tomorrow, the Tin Can Tourist Group is coming. In fact, they're already here at the Coopers Lake Campground. I didn't know anything about this group till I found out they were coming. They started way back in 1919. They are proponents of acquiring and restoring vintage camper trailers. Think the old silver Airstream like Lucy and Ricky had in one of their episodes. And they're having a rally at Cooper's Lake Campground. Several states, they're heading in there this weekend. We'll talk with Gary Shepard. He'll be with us tomorrow. He's one of the members of the group, has one of these vintage camper trailers. Also tomorrow, a young woman from England. We'll be talking with her via telephone. She's from Essex. Where Essex is. Yeah, Essex. Southern England, I believe. Her name is Sarah Perry. We'll be chatting with her on tomorrow's program as well. We have more stuff for you, too. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'm Dave Malarkey. See you tomorrow, and it's your turn here on WISR.
The classic hits are on Real Hometown Radio, WISR 680 Butler.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. President Trump.
Backing up his son at a Paris news conference.